We've been talking about burdens the last three messages on Sunday night. We want to finish up that series tonight in dealing with burdens. I believe there are a lot of Christians who are carrying unnecessary burdens. Yeah. And they're trying to carry those burdens in their own strength. Yeah. And that's a mistake. Whether it be fear or some other burden that you have, worry, that isn't for a child of God. And God does not want us to worry. And God does not want us to be fearful. And God does not want us to get tired out, worn out, burnt out, and weighted down with the things that would hinder our work for the Lord. Now, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 3, if you would, verses 5 and 6. And I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about serving in Christ's yoke. Serving with Him in His yoke. Being yoked up with Jesus Christ. And by doing so, we learn, even in serving Him, to rest in the Lord. Even in our service for Him. Beginning with verse 5, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. Watch these words right here especially. But our sufficiency is of God. How many of you would agree with that? Amen. Our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life, sufficiency, life, and the joyful life, and the life with purpose. And I discover, as I said, a lot of restlessness. We should not today, as believers, be restless. And yet I hear people, and I listen to people, and I observe people. And a lot of times the reason some people are so restless with God's plan and what God has for you to do is because of your temperament. You may be a very driven person. And because you're so driven to succeed, and by the way, so many times we are trying to please everybody else. There are a lot of young preacher boys trying to please their peers, or they're trying to please the pastor that they wonder, or somebody that they really think a lot of, and so they try to mimic him and they try to follow him. I can remember Dr. Jack Howells. So many of the people, young preacher boys, they get up and they'd try to mimic him, and Dr. Howells had a cough, and he'd preach a little bit and cough. Well, some of these young guys would get up and they'd cough, and it was a dead giveaway when they'd do that. And there's some other things that others did. And they would put themselves under pressure. By the way, if you're a preacher boy and you're going to be a missionary or preacher, let me tell you something. Be yourself. Amen. Don't be somebody else. Don't try to be somebody else. And the people always talk about me trying to fill Dr. Barber's shoes. I wasn't trying to fill his shoes. I had my own shoes to wear. Amen? And so I was just trying to wear my shoes. And that's what we have to do. And that's the attitude we should have. But sometimes our drivenness to be accepted, to excel, to be on the top ladder and all of that is something that makes us restless as God's people. And we don't ever enter into that full peace and that sweetness of serving the Lord. Listen to Matthew 11:28-30. You're familiar with it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what?
Rest.
Oh, there it is. I will give you rest. God wants us to have rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, sometimes we know the verses, we just don't follow them. We just don't enter into what they're teaching us to do. And we try to work it all out ourselves. And whenever we don't take Christ up on His offer, then we have some problems. It might be called burnout. It might be called overload. It might be called exhaustion. It might be just saying, I'm just tired in the work of God. But sometimes we have the wrong motivation. We need to enter into what God has for us, the rest. That doesn't mean be lazy, but it's the rest that God has for us. And then we are to be led by God beside still waters. God wants us to be led beside not troublesome waters and not raging waters. Mark 6:31, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place. Now, how long has it been since you did that? You say, well, I don't even know where a desert is. Well, he's not necessarily literally meaning you've got to be in a place that's a desert, but you've got to get alone with God. Getting alone with God, a desert place, and rest a while. Do what? Rest a while. Get alone with God and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and it sounds just like America, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. They were so busy they were skipping meals. Matthew tells, or Mark tells us about that in Mark 6:31. True rest, real rest, the kind of total rest God wants to give us, I believe, is a divine activity. And you know, God said something about that in the very beginning, where God gave us a day of what? Rest. A day of rest. I see people out on Sunday mowing the yard, washing the cars, painting the house, all that kind of thing. They've missed whatever God had said to them. And I believe it ought to be a day of rest. We go to church, we rest in the Lord, we hear the preaching, some rest very good while I'm preaching. We go on and on and on, and they go back home and rest in the afternoon. I think God wants us to rest. Now, sometimes the ox is in the ditch, I understand that. Americans, we're strange people. We go on a vacation, you know, we go on a vacation, and we run wide open for the whole week or how many days we have, and then we come back home so we can recoup from our vacation. From our week of rest. And that's sort of the way we do that. Well, rest really means that activity ceases. Come apart. Rest with the Lord. Stop everything. And rest with God. Activity ceases. God said, be still and know that I am God. How long has it been since you just sort of got real still before God, thought about Him, meditated, you were still, and you sensed the very presence of God all around you, and you knew it. He's always present, but there's a sensitivity that we have when we do that. We need to rest in the Lord, and there are a lot of different reasons that we do not do that. There are a lot of people, you take a type A person, a melancholy perfectionist organizer, those people sometimes put more on themselves than God ever intended for them to have. And as a result, they feel like, well, I'm losing control of this. I've got to get it done. I'm losing control of all of this kind of thing, and I'm going to lose control of the project. What we need to do, and sometimes we don't do it, is forget those so-called spiritual reasons that we come up with for being the way we are. And we have some of those spiritual reasons for not resting. But sometimes they're really not spiritual reasons. We create more activity. We work in the energy of the flesh. We don't let God bless us, and we don't get along with Him to have His power on us. And sometimes we pull away. And sometimes God wants us to pull away right in the midst of our service to get along with Him. You know, I remember an illustration of guys who were chopping down a tree, and they went those big trees, and boy, they went a contest. And they kept chopping and chopping and chopping, and one of the guys was ahead of the other guy, and he saw the other guy sitting down. He wondered, what in the world is he doing? I'm going to beat him. I'm just chopping, 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 chopping. And he got tireder and tireder, and his axe got duller and duller. And finally, afterwards, the other guy beat him, and he asked him, said, what were you doing when you were sitting down? He said, I was sharpening my axe. And you think about that, we need to sit down and get alone with God and sharpen our axe and spend some time so that we don't have so much anxiety, and we have to pull away sometimes from the routines and rest. And then we know that Jesus said, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. And I like that word there, come. What he's saying is abandon the rat race for a little while. We live in sort of a rat race. And the Scripture says in Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Rest in the Lord. In Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And then he went on to say, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. You be still, let me have place in your life, and I'll show you, I will use you to bring glory to my name in this world. So what's the first step? Well, the first step is this, come unto me. That means you got to get saved first, amen? You're not going to have that kind of peace and rest in your life until you get saved. The rest of the Lord that God has for us starts when we come to Christ and we get saved. And then it is an ongoing thing as we lean on Him and trust in Him and do what He says that we're to do in the Word of God. Sometimes we have very loose relationship with the Lord right in the middle of our ministry. Sometimes we can get so involved, and preachers do this, missionaries do this, Sunday school teachers can do it, others can do it. We get so involved in our work, that we somehow lose that sweet, close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that just will not work. We've got to keep the love of Jesus flourishing in our hearts and flourishing in our minds and flourishing in our lives. We have to do that in order for God to use us, in order for God to bless us. Paul said, that I may know Him. Well, wait a minute, Paul, you're saved. You were saved. What do you mean? Didn't you know Jesus? You got saved. You're already saved. That wasn't what he was talking about. He was saying that I may really know Him in sweet, close, intimate fellowship, that I may know the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you fellowship with Him? Do you take time out of your busyness to really fellowship with the Lord through spending some time frequently in the Word of God and time frequently on your knees and in prayer? That's where we're going to find rest. We're going to find rest pulling out, pulling apart, getting alone with God in doing these things. Now, somebody says, well, if the yoke is easy, why am I exhausted? If the yoke is easy, why am I so tired? Well, I can tell you this, that Jesus' biblical yoke is not going to exhaust us. The yoke that He expects us to be under is not going to be one that will exhaust us. If we're serving in the flesh, it is going to make us tired. And we're going to lose interest. But if we're serving in the Spirit of God, it's not going to be that way. You see, we may be serving God in the energy of the flesh. God help us if we wouldn't allow that to happen to us. We're not letting Christ carry our load. We're trying to carry it ourselves. We're trying to work it out ourselves. We've got it all planned. We've got all the details. The 1, 2, 3 Roman numerals and the ABC and the 1, 2, 3s under that. And we know that we've got it all planned out, but we better get along with God. Spend time with God. And a lot of times our motive isn't right. We're serving for the attention we can get out of it. We're serving and we feel like if we don't do a certain amount of work and a certain amount of things that people are not going to look up to us and people are not going to admire us for doing that. But we need to find rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, not take too much on, but let the power of God be in our lives when we serve Him. Now, that's not a problem most Baptists I know. But I'm just telling you, we need to be sure that what we take on, it's God's will. And what we're going to do, we are convinced we're in the will of God. And then God will give us the grace to go on with that. And then there's the divine cooperative. What do you mean? Well, it's natural, as I said, to carry the load ourselves. That's just human nature. I'll just carry it as long as I can. I'll put it on my shoulders as long as I can. And beloved, that's a mistake. Jesus said, I am meek and lowly. And sometimes we ignore that. We don't want to humble ourselves and admit that we should be meek and that we are lowly before God. And we don't allow that in our DNA, in our mind. We ignore that reality in the Word of God. And here's what can happen to us. Let me tell you what will happen. You'll feel successful for a little while. You'll feel successful for a little while. You'll say, it's going real good. Everything's going fine. And you'll feel that way, but it is not something that's going to last for a long period of time. And it won't be long till you'll be exhausted and you'll be discouraged and you'll be burnt out in the Lord's work. in Bible days, there were two kinds of yokes that the Bible talks about. One was where they put two animals together and they equally pulled the load. And they would pull that load together. But then there was another yoke where they trained a younger animal and they would put the trained older animal with the younger animal and they would put them in the yoke and the older trained animal would be the one that was pulling to train the other one to come along and finally bring them to that maturity. That's exactly what Christ does for us. He's like the second yoke. We're to get in the yoke with Him. He trains us. He teaches us. He brings us along. And then we mature in the Lord, and He expects us to help other people do the same thing. We've got to let Him get in the yoke with us, and we've got to get in the yoke with Him in order for God to do what He wants to do. The hardest taskmasters, what are they? The hardest things that are our taskmasters, I think, are other people's yokes. And I'll go back to that again and again. If you're serving under man, if you're serving for me, you're not going to be happy just doing that. If you're just trying to please the pastor, that won't get it. That won't cut it. And I like for you to try to please me, but I'm telling you, that's not going to cut it. We're to do our service, the Bible says, as unto the preacher, right? As unto the pastor. No, as unto the Lord. When you get that right and you're doing it, not because of the attention you get, not because somebody pats you on the back, not because you feel like if you don't do it, people are not going to look up to you and all of those other things that go along with that. My friend, we don't need to do it for the approval of others. We need to do what we do for the approval of God. People may approve of you, but I want to tell you, you already know it. People are very fickle. They're very, very fickle. They're very demanding, and people are very unpredictable. But it's not that way with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't need to be serving others. We'll feel the overload. We'll feel all of that. We're just trying to do that, and we'll get disillusioned. We've got to serve the Lord, not for what we get out of it, not for what other people think about us, and not for the accolades we're going to get, but just simply be meek and lowly and come before God and serve God. Serve the Lord. You see, if you serve man, you're going to get all frustrated. If you're doing what you're doing for other people in recognition, you're really going to get all bombed out. But if you do it for the Lord, you serve the Lord, I want to promise you, He replenishes. He restores. He gives the strength. He invigorates us when we do what we do for the glory of the Lord, not for our self-glory. I'm telling you, a lot of God's work sometimes is done for self-glory, and it should not be true. Then we get strength through knowledge. Strength through knowledge. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. Strength comes through knowledge. We grow in grace. How? Study the Word. And let me just say to you that studying the Word is not just fastly reading through it once a year. Studying the Word is not just having a quick devotion every once in a while. Studying the Word is exactly what it says, studying the Word. It's spending time, a lot of time, in your Bible. We spend time for television, sports, children's activities, job activities, you name it. Ad infinitum, but my dear friend, we must and have to come to the place in our lives where we spend a lot of time in the Word of God. Spending much time in the Word of God to know the will of God. And God will show us how to live effectively and how to live happily before Him with purpose in our heart. And how to have that rest in our souls. We live in a culture that loves to be amused. Amusements everywhere. You go anywhere and you can find some amusements. Well, the word muse means think. But the little lady there in front of amusement is from a Latin. It's from a Latin word, and it means absolutely. It means no. And so put those two together, and you get no thinking. Amusement, no thinking. Now, it's all right to have some of that, but I believe there are too many Christians who have a whole lot of that. And we've got to spend time with God and time in the Word of God. And sometimes it's okay to take a little amusement, but that is not the whole life that Jesus Christ offers. Our life ought to be dedicated to Him, and our service ought to be surrounding Him, and our peace and the joy and the rest and the purpose in life and the feeling of ecstasy that comes from knowing we're really doing something that has eternal value. That's what's going to give us rest. If we will abide in Christ, then we'll have rest in our soul as we are serving God. And then there's refreshment. Sometimes we get a little tired and exhausted, and our soul needs refreshing. I've been there and probably will be there again. But when you get exhausted and that comes in your life, don't do like a lot of Christians do and quit. God didn't call you to quit. He might change your ministry, but God did not call you to quit. Your ministry might change a little, but that's all right. But don't quit. Learn to rest. Learn to depend on God. Take Christ in your yoke with you. And when you do that, friend, if you'll center your service in Christ and Christ alone, He'll give you rest as you serve Him. He'll give you that peace that only He can give. And then let me talk to you about the impossible burden for just a moment. The impossible burden. Why did the burden bearer come, the Lord Jesus Christ? Why did He come to be our burden bearer? He's the burden bearer. And we find that at the foot of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did He come? Well, because we're sinners. We're all sinners. And He had to come as the burden bearer to take our sins upon Himself. Thank God He did. The wages of sin is death. Horrible. Separation from God forever and ever in hell. Away from the Lord. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, that's what's going to happen to you if you die outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to happen to you. And the impossible burden is your sins apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never be forgiven of them. And then these burdens are too big for human answers. We try to come up with human answers. Saturday out visiting, knocking on some doors. You ask people, are you going to heaven? Do you know you're going to heaven? Yes, I do. I believe I will. Well, if you stand before God and God says, why should I let you come into my heaven? What are you going to tell Him? Well, I'm a pretty good person. Or I joined the church. Or I'm a Catholic. Or whatever. Those are all wrong answers. Or I've been baptized. All of those things. You see, this impossible burden of our sin is too big for that. And we cannot work it out, but thank God God has worked it out through Jesus Christ. Some people think, I've had people say, well, I've been a Christian all my life. Really? I can't find that in the Bible. Well, I was born into a Christian home. That doesn't make you a Christian any more than me walking in a garage makes me a car. I mean, that doesn't make you a Christian. That you were born into a so-called Christian family. And yet there are people who believe that'll take care of it, and their good works will take care of it. And if they're kind and love people, and if they'll give money to good causes and all of those things, and they're good in their place and have high morality, then I'm going to get to heaven. No, no, friend, you've got a dilemma. And that dilemma is you're a sinner, and the only one that can help you out is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so thank God the burden bearer did the impossible. He did what we could not do. He did exactly what had to be done on the cross of Calvary in order for us to be saved. 1 Peter 2:24, He bare our sins in His own body. Thank God He did. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For us good people? No, for us sinners. Christ died for us. The impossible burden. Christ had to die for us. So what do? You release your burden. How do you do that? Well, Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, that's good. You release your burden. You got your sin burden. What are you going to do with it? You're a sinner. You got to do something with it. And it's an impossible thing for you to work out. So you turn to the burden bearer, and the burden bearer is Jesus Christ. And you ask Him to save you. And guess what? He will save you the moment you ask Him to save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, He says you got to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died for you, that He was buried, that He paid your sin debt, and He arose. But if you're willing to call on Him, then the impossible burden will be taken care of. What do? You meet Jesus at the cross. You come to the old rugged cross and meet Him there. And then when you come to the cross and you get saved, you have direct access to Jesus Christ. Then and there, you're born again. And then, bless the Lord and thank God for it, you can always, through the rest of your life, seek the help of God and the strength of God as a child of God for any burden that you carry, any burden that you have. You have the right to go to God and lay it on His shoulders. Why? Because the impossible has been taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. You have burdens tonight. You're a little tired in the work. Not tired of it, maybe, but tired in it. Maybe a little burnout. Maybe some concern about some things. Listen, friend, the answer of the rest that you need and the peace that you need is not only listening to what God says physically, but getting alone with God, spending time with God in His Word. If you're not doing that, make a promise to Him tonight you'll start doing that. You won't let all these other things. God says, come apart and rest. If you don't come apart and rest, you will come apart, friend. God wants us to have that sweet peace, that sweet rest, that joy of the Lord that He gives. Father, I pray that You'd help us to release our burdens to You, to not try to carry them ourselves. We're too weak. I pray that there's somebody here who isn't saved, that they would realize they have a dilemma, but You've taken care of that dilemma. You've given Your Son to pay their sin debt. If they'll come, they have the right and access to Jesus, just like those of us who are saved, to cast our cares upon You because You care for us. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.